Is the Seventh-day Adventist Church really the remnant church of Bible prophecy? We're going to explore that this morning. So before we do, let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, considering its significance and importance, the Laodicean message seems to be virtually neglected and ignored by us today. Or when it is presented, it's likely to be touched upon lightly or diluted. We seem to shy away from its forthrightness, and yet it's the preaching of its very message that will bring to the church the revival and reformation that every true Seventh-day Adventist is looking for. May your Holy Spirit give power to the message this morning, and may it only offend the enemy of souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the Laodicean Church, which is also called the Remnant Church. First of all, let me say that the Laodicean message is totally infused with love. Real love does not always caress. Sometimes it must discipline. Real love does not always speak soothing words. Sometimes it speaks sharply. Real love does not always protect. Sometimes it's forced to expose the results of wrongdoing and folly. Real love does not always give. Sometimes it must withhold. So in kindness and love, may the Holy Spirit help me present the message this morning. My friends, recently, we've been having some non-Seventh-day Adventist people, or people who are claiming to be Seventh-day Adventists, attend our church for the purpose of inviting our members to attend their church by telling them that the Seventh-day Adventist church is in apostasy, but that their independent church is really holding true to the Seventh-day Adventist message. Because of this charge, the Lord has laid upon me the message for this morning. Now, this is a three-part series which will probably raise some questions which will be answered in the second part. The second part will be a little more pointed than the first part. So to get it all, you need to make sure you're here for the second part too. Incest, adultery, theft, prejudice, murder. Is this a description of the sins of those who have rejected God in these last days? No. Just a sampling of the sins found in the pews of the church that describes itself as the remnant church. The Seventh-day Adventist self-identification as a Laodicean church seems to contradict its perception of itself as a remnant church. For the Lord threatens to spew out or vomit out Laodicea, Revelation 3:16, while promising that the remnant, those who get the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, will stand upon the sea of glass having the harps of God, Revelation 15, verse 2. My friends, how can this be? How can we be both? Or can we? This morning we want to briefly trace the biblical concept of the remnant in an attempt to answer the following questions. Who is the remnant? What factors determine the remnant? Can the remnant include the unconverted as well as the converted? Does the idea of the remnant within the remnant have any validity? Can the remnant apostatize? Is Laodicea the remnant? Is Seventh-day Adventism the remnant? Or do we need, in the light of our present condition, to re-examine that claim? The Spirit of Prophecy says that God is leading out a people. He has a chosen people, a church on the earth whom he has made the depositaries of his law. He has committed to them sacred trust and eternal truth to be given to the world. He would reprove and he would correct them. The message to the Laodiceans is applicable to Seventh-day Adventists who have had great light and have not walked in the light. The message to pronounce the Seventh-day Adventist Church Babylon and call the people of God out of her does not come from any heavenly messenger or any human agent inspired by the Spirit of God. Now, if Adventism has all this light, are we holier than those who don't? Does all this truth make us better than other Christians? Has the Spirit of prophecy sanctified us in ways that those without it never could? Does being the remnant make us more righteous than anyone else? Most Adventists would answer, of course not. But why not? With the revelation of Jesus Christ that we possess, Seventh-day Adventists should be the godliest, the holiest, and most Christ-like people on earth. But are we? Please forgive me. But a blindfolded drunk could throw a lasso around members of almost any other church and snare as many, if not more, honest, sincere, loving, and forgiving Christians as exist among Adventists today. I want you to listen to this description of the remnant church in the Old Testament. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to sin and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. 2 Corinthians 33, verse 9. Have we done worse than the heathen? Or at least the spiritual Babylonians? Well, Revelation 3, verses 15 through 17, concisely describes our condition in these words: I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. But now let me clear something up. My friends, all Seventh-day Adventists are not Laodicean, as the term is usually applied or usually understood. That is to say that all Seventh-day Adventists are not lukewarm. All Seventh-day Adventists are not self-satisfied. All Seventh-day Adventists are not self-righteous. All Seventh-day Adventists are not proud, and so on. But, says the Spirit of prophecy, the greater part are lukewarm professors, having a name, but no zeal. The servant of the Lord has repeatedly applied this Laodicean message to the Seventh-day Adventist church. It says, if ever a people were represented by the Laodicean message, it is a people who have had great light, the revelation of the Scriptures that Seventh-day Adventists have received. My friends, Laodicea lacks holiness, not truth. And this is a problem that's plagued God's corporate remnant in every age of Earth's history. We're further told that the people of God must see their wrongs and arouse to zealous repentance and a putting away of those sins which have brought them into such a deplorable condition of poverty, blindness, wretchedness, and fearful deception. I was shown that the pointed testimony must live in the church. This alone will answer to the message to the Laodiceans. Wrongs must be reproved, sins must be called sin, and iniquity must be met promptly and decidedly and put away from us as a people. Now, my friends, these counsels confirm what the Bible has shown explicitly for thousands of years. God's corporate church on earth has always been a spiritual basket case. When the Lord cried in Jeremiah 21, verse 5, and said, He said, I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. To whom was He talking? It was to His church. He was talking to His church. He warned, Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts. Malachi 2, verse 3. That's awful. Here God was not warning the Amorites, the Hittites, the Philistines, or the Persians, but He was warning His corporate remnant church. He said, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness, for they say, The Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord sees not. Ezekiel 9, verse 9. Here God was referring to His covenant people, those who had been given a revelation of light and truth greater than any nation around them. All these warning descriptions apply to His corporate remnant church. Now, compared to the warnings He poured upon His remnant centuries ago, our Heavenly Father's counsel to His remnant today seems tepid, to say the least. Another time, a servant of the Lord said, I was shown the low state of God's people, that God had not departed from them, but that they had departed from God and become lukewarm. They possess the theory of the truth, but lack its saving power. And as we near the close of time, Satan comes down with great power, knowing his time is short. Especially upon the remnant will his power be exercised. Now I want you to notice that the Lord had not departed from His people, that they had departed from Him. My friends, the spirit of prophecy is not talking here about the Baptists, the Methodists, or the Catholics. The words here are for Seventh-day Adventists whom it describes as in a low state, a church from whom the Spirit of God is dying away, an asleep people with an appalling indifference to the needs around them. It says that they have departed from the Lord, and though they have the truth, they don't have the love. And without love, we are nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. In short, this describes Adventists as Laodicea. And yet it also depicts Seventh-day Adventists as the remnant church. Can Laodicea be the remnant? Obviously, yes. Indeed, however pathetic, even wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked we are, the Adventist church remains the remnant church if for no other reason than that it alone has and possesses the remnant truth. No matter how many child molesters, immoral hypocrites, fanatics, or other unconverted degenerates suck the power and the spirit out of the body, we are still corporately the remnant church because we alone have the remnant truth. And it is ultimately truth, not holiness, that distinguishes God's corporate remnant people today, just as it did in the days of ancient Israel. Now, I'm not talking about individuals, I'm talking about the corporate. The analogy with ancient Israel works well up to a point. From the making of the golden calf, from the report of the 12 spies, from the split of the nation into two warring factions, from the worldly apostasy of the first temple up to the hard-nosed legalism of the early second temple, Israel remained the remnant nation, God's corporate remnant people, who alone had present truth, despite their spiritual weaknesses. Even after the remnant crucified Jesus, the Lord still confirmed the covenant with them for 3.5 more years, giving them time as a corporate body to repent of their murder of Jesus and accept Him as a Messiah. Daniel 9:27. Nevertheless, Jesus did finally have to stand over Jerusalem and say, "Your house is left unto you desolate." Matthew 23, verse 38. He did eventually have to warn the leaders, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." Matthew 21, verse 43. However, the time did come when Israel no longer functioned as a corporate political entity as the remnant church. The Lord had to call out a new people, a new movement, a new church with a new message. Can the same thing happen to us today? Well, anyone who has ever done Adventism must have been tempted at some point to question the church's prophetic role. Many, particularly those who have grown up within the system, have seen the hypocrisy of those who say and do all the acceptable Adventist things in public, while in the darkness they commit the vilest sins. How many of our young people have been frustrated, hurt, even burned by holier-than-thou saints who have judged them and condemned them without ever knowing the pain and the struggles of their hearts? How many young people have been raised knowing more about Ellen White than about Jesus Christ? How many members have been sickened by the lack of commitment to doctrines and standards? How many know rules, laws, standards, but do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? How many have been forced to leave Adventism in order to find the love, the assurance, and the acceptance that they have craved but never found in the remnant? A few years ago, a young couple had been raised as Seventh-day Adventists and had gone through Adventist schools, but had left the church and joined a charismatic fellowship. The man's brother was even an Adventist minister. When asked why they'd walked out on Adventism, they responded, "When we were in the Adventist church, our marriage was falling apart. We found in this church the love and help we needed. Now our marriage is great." Others, on the contrary, have become concerned about the lowering of standards, the infiltration of liberal theology into our schools, the lack of distinctive Adventism being preached in our pulpits, and the inroads of worldly policy and philosophy in our institutions. Convinced that the church has become Babylon, they have left and joined offshoots, or they hover on the periphery of the church, diverting tithes, criticizing leadership, dividing churches, and seriously questioning the denomination's prophetic role and remnant status. So what about it, my friends? Can the Adventist church lose its remnant status? Can what happened to physical Israel after the death of Christ happen to spiritual Israel today? Will God eventually spew Laodicea as a whole out of His mouth to start another body, one that will better fulfill His purposes? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. Because Laodicea is the last church. Revelation chapter 3 ends at verse 22. There is no verse 23 describing another corporate entity. Nothing comes after Laodicea. Laodicea is the end. It's the last one. Blind, wretched, miserable, we, hard as it is to believe, are it. We are the last corporate body. Also, when the Lord called out the Christian church from national Israel, He gave it a distinctive message. Jesus of Nazareth was the Savior of the world. Not only was that message new light, but it was present truth. New light and present truth that the corporate Jewish church had rejected. This is why the Lord had to form a new church. Had the Jewish church corporately accepted the truth, God would not have had needed to form a new body. Instead, he had to call out those, both Jews and Gentiles, who would accept and proclaim the message that the corporate Hebrew church did not accept. Truth. Present truth, not holiness, has been the distinguishing characteristic of God's corporate remnant in every age. Thus, as enfeebled and defective as it is, Adventism still has a present truth message for this time, which is God's call to men and women everywhere to prepare for Jesus' second coming, the last event prior to the heavenly millennium. No need exists to call out a new church, a remnant with new light, or another present truth message. A new church would have to have a new message. Yet what could be more present truth than the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, 6 through 9? Yes, apostasy exists within Adventism, as it always has within God's corporate church. But a church with apostasy vastly differs from a church in apostasy. And Adventism is not in apostasy, even though apostasy is in it. An apostate church would not have published the seven volumes of the Daniel and Revelation Committee series, all written to defend basic Adventist doctrine. My friends, a church spreading all over the world the truth about Jesus, salvation, the Sabbath, the state of the dead, the second coming, and the sanctuary is not in apostasy. An apostate church would not be daily presenting these great truths to tens of thousands in almost every nation in the world. And an apostate church would not print and sell each year hundreds of thousands of books such as The Great Controversy, The Desire of Ages, Steps to Christ, Education, The Ministry of Healing, and Patriarchs and Prophets, among others. Now I have to admit, the Adventist church has its Judases, Ahabs, and Jezebels. We probably have more than many members realize. Who could deny that we're not what we ought to be? We're probably even worse than we think. After all, that's Laodicea's big problem, isn't it? And how sad that some are not teaching our truth with a conviction, clarity, and faith that they should. But even watered down, the three angels' messages are closer to present truth than what many other churches are teaching. My friends, no matter how bad the church supposedly is, the Lord is still using it and it alone to bring this special message to the world. It was not the Baptists, the Charismatics, the Presbyterians or Catholics who first taught me the three angels' messages, messages of Revelation 14. I learned them only from Seventh-day Adventists, the only people anyone else is ever going to learn them from as well. The servant of the Lord says, although there are evils existing in the church and will be until the end of the world, the church in these last days is to be the light of the world that is polluted and demoralized by sin. The church, enfeebled and defective, needing to be reproved, warned, and counseled, is the only object on earth upon which Christ bestows His supreme regard. Nevertheless, my friends, many Adventists are concerned about trends in the church, and justifiably so. Not only have standards been lowered, but our distinctive message is not heard anymore, very often. We are as unlikely to hear a sermon about standards, world events, and the investigative judgment as we are about the second coming, victory over sin, and any other unique aspect of present truth. And in their desire to preach good gospel sermons, Some of our ministers are so unbalanced on their presentation of justification by faith and assurance of salvation that their gospel is not good. For the true gospel is more than just justification. And I am thankful that we are going to be studying this quarter the book of Romans that's going to bring this out. It also includes sanctification, or growing to be like Jesus in character, which is victory over sin. I hear sometimes about the good old days in the Adventist church when we preached the truth with power. And there is some truth to this. But friends, Adventism has never had only pure ministers preaching pure truth to pure saints. As far back as 1888, some of our leaders rejected a powerful message of justification by faith. Thankfully, they later repented and accepted it. All the counsel, warning, and rebukes in the spirit of prophecy, now listen to this, about worldliness, lukewarmness, apostasy, fanaticism, racism, immorality, adultery, selfishness, corruption, unsanctified ministers, jealousy, legalism, gossip, masturbation, wayward youth, stealing of tithe, spouse abuse, rebellion, rejection of the testimonies, and other problems lurid enough to make Hollywood blush were written to the remnant church in supposedly the good old days when this church was standing for the truth. How often did the servant of the Lord weep for the church back then? Yet the Lord did not reject His corporate body back then, and He's not going to reject it now. However, there is a growing movement today away from a denomination, a movement towards a church within a church, or even separation. Factions are already ordaining their own ministers and starting their own churches. They're going directly against the spirit of prophecy, counsel, and quite ironic, because one of their gripes about the church is that it is going against the spirit of prophecy. Many disgruntled Adventists already believe that the church is in apostasy, and some even call it Babylon. They believe that the Lord will call out from it a faithful remnant as He did with the early Christian church. And those involved with the more radical movements believe that they are the faithful ones, the true remnant, and that the Lord is now calling them away from the organized Seventh-day Adventist denomination. This is why we are seeing some of these folk coming into our churches presenting the request that our people come to their churches because their churches are pure. I just received information on this from the conference just a week ago. This is one of the reasons why we're having the messages this week and next week and the following. Some even believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the organized church, will eventually link up with the state to persecute the faithful. Many who at one point would have recoiled at the thought of ever leaving a denomination and joining another group have done just that. Others will follow despite the spirit of prophecy's warning that the church may appear as if it is about to fall, but it does not fall. It remains while the sinners in Zion will be sifted out, the chaff separated from the precious wheat. This is a terrible ordeal, but nevertheless, it must take place. Separationists explain away this reference by their definition of the church, which according to them, is composed only of faithful people. It's becoming popular now to define the church as consisting of only faithful souls. In connection with this is the thought that the visible Seventh-day Adventist Church, composed of both good and evil influences, is not really God's church at all. Yet the servant of the Lord's quote itself proves that the church cannot be just faithful souls. Otherwise, how could the sinners in Zion be sifted out? The reference itself defines the church as having sinners in it, not just faithful souls. And it is these sinners in Zion, not the saints, who are sifted out and leave. It's a shame, but as those are sifted out, the devil brings in more. The Bible talks about the wheat and the tares, the good and the bad, growing together in the church until the harvest. We can't look at each other and compare ourselves with each other. We need to look to Jesus Christ and compare ourselves with Him. Never did the spirit of prophecy hint that because of apostasy, the Lord would call out a new people. It warned that apostasy would keep us here longer than we should be, but it never countenanced joining new organizations. On the contrary, it warned, every truth that God has given for these last days is to be proclaimed to the world. Every pillar that He has established is to be strengthened. We cannot now step off the foundation that God has established. We cannot now enter into any new organization, for this would mean apostasy from the truth. My dear friends, the concept that the Lord is going to call out a new movement runs into another major flaw. When is the calling out process going to be complete? If a new movement were to be called out of Adventism, how long would it be before that movement in turn would fall into the same sins that its founders now accuse the denomination of having fallen into? And how long before some members in the new movement decide that it is now in apostasy and form another one? And how long before those in even that movement feel called to start a new one? Sooner or later, the Lord has to have His final corporate body. And I can assure you, He already does. The book of Revelation chapter 3 shows who they are. And that church is called the Laodicean Church. My friends, most of the charges of its critics are correct. We cannot deny it. But they do not negate one crucial fact. Israel of old still had the truth. Yes, they accused the Lord of the Sabbath of trampling upon it. But at least they had the Sabbath. No doubt they misused the laws about diet and health. But at least they had the laws. Of course, many misinterpreted the prophecies concerning the Messiah, but at least they had the prophecies. No matter how they misread, misused, and misapplied these truths, they still had more truth than anyone else. And it is the same with Adventism. Even if some Seventh-day Adventists become proud, have a holier-than-thou attitude, or become exclusive because of a church's remnant status or prophetic calling, these problems do not invalidate that status or prophetic calling. My friends, when you're approached by some of these dear people who once fellowship with us to check out their so-called pure church, tell them that you belong to the true church of God and you do not want to attend the false. And then invite them back to the true church. Now, I have to admit that you may find an Adventist church that you're not going to get pure doctrine in. And if that is the case, go to another Adventist church. You will find an Adventist church that teaches the truth. I can assure you. The appeal has been made to the Laodiceans. If anyone hears my voice, if he will listen and respond to my appeals. Now, as the faithful witness ends his message to the last church, he repeats his tender and his loving plea. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now the story to the Laodiceans is incomplete. Their condition is faithfully described, their needs are defined, and the remedy prescribed. But the conclusion of the story is left with the Laodiceans themselves. To each individual Laodicean, you and me. Whether the story has a happy ending depends on us. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, says Jesus, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Now in closing, this part one, I'm going to ask the questions. Will we have a sad ending or a happy ending for us as individuals? Which ending will we choose? The house built on the sand or the house built on the rock? The Lord Jesus Christ. In the end, a church is saved or lost for the gospel one person at a time. Now, part two of this series is entitled The Remnant Within the Remnant. And this will further clarify whatever questions you may have as to how the Seventh-day Adventist Church can be both the remnant and the Laodicean Church at the same time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know you want a purified people to represent you on this planet. We know also that we are not yet the church triumphant, but the church militant. We realize that Jesus brings his people into the church, and we also know that Satan brings his people into the church also. And we know that they will grow together until the end of the world. However, may each one of us here this morning not concentrate on the evil around us, but keep our eyes concentrated on the Lord Jesus Christ, who only can prepare us for heaven. May we not lose confidence that you're still leading the Seventh-day Adventist Church and will at last have a purified remnant when all is said and done. Strengthen our faith in your mighty love and ability to finish the work you started in righteousness. For we ask this in the faith of Jesus' name. Amen.